what I hear? Way up in the IoT is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton with a little holiday jingle in my heart and memes on my mind. Oh yes, I've got two killer memes and sensors interviews wrapped up in beautiful podcasting bows. First up, Marcelino Gemelli from Bosch Sensor Tech joins us to discuss sensor bots, adding intelligence to our sensing systems, and keeping our promise of the IoT. Let's go. Hi there, Marcelino. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, nice to be here.
So first off, for my audience who's probably living under a rock somewhere, what is Bosch Sensor Tech all about?
Bosch Sensor Tech, we make MEMS sensors for the consumer world. So primarily smartphones, but also everything that, you know, all the devices you have in your home or on your body, like your wearables, your smart home devices. We make the sensors for these.
Okay, so we're here at the MEMS and Sensors Executive Congress. And tomorrow you're doing a TED Talk style presentation about how we enable a sixth sense. So tell me, how are we going to do that?
Well, the sensors alone represent our world. They're our input to the world. But then we need to model the world. And this takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. We want the machines to be able to model the world more autonomously. Otherwise, the promise of the IoT will never be fulfilled, right? So it is clear to me that when machines think the same way that we do, they will be able to delegate to the sensors, to some part of the sensors themselves, some of the learning algorithms that generates instincts or sixth senses. Much in the same way that we do not consciously think of, say, of removing our hand from something that is very hot, like from a hot plate. So it's done pretty much autonomously. The sensor connects directly to our muscles in much the same way. That's one of the ways that we can add more intelligence to our sensors that can talk directly to actuators.
So how do you see neural networks, artificial intelligence, playing into this?
Well, we cannot expect to have all artificial intelligence just sitting in the cloud, right? We would not be streaming. It's not practical to stream all the sensor data all the way up to the cloud. We need to convert some of this data to information much more upstream, much closer to the sensors themselves. Now, deciding where this processing takes place can be either done by a developer, like an algorithmic designer, but this takes a lot of time. This takes a lot of resources. If part of this system optimization was done by the cloud itself, and that can individually decide where to put which algorithm, which learning algorithm, that would make it so much easier for the promise of the IoT to be made.
So what do you think is the biggest challenge as we're going forward, or challenges going forward in this realm?
Well, the biggest challenges are actually adding such intelligence to the sensors without adding the cost and the power and the size. Right? So that's why we are making what we call sensor bots, short for sensor robots. They have some built-in processors that are extremely well tailored to perform some machine learning algorithms locally. So they are 32-bit processors that have some hardened features that are specific to machine learning. This will generate lower cost, a lower power, and overall a better efficiency. These products are already out there. We have these sensor hubs already in our lineup. It's all a question of putting them into the greater ecosystem.
All right. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Marcelino.
Thank you. And I look forward to talk to you all again.
Ah, yes, the halls are decked with semiconductors and the MEMS are shining bright. Let's welcome Michelle Bork from Lam Research and Stephen Bright from Coventor. These two companies have recently joined forces, and let's find out how this new merger is going to shake up the MEMS scene. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to talk to us today. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, thanks for talking with us today.
Okay, so first for Michelle, since you guys haven't been on my show before, give me a rundown. What's Lam Research all about?
Well, Amelia, Lam Research is a capital equipment manufacturer. What that means is that we build equipment that actually can manufacture chips for the semiconductor industry. and it can be the entire broad-reaching semiconductor industry. So we work not only in silicon, but in other materials as well. For the meetings that we're at here today, we're talking about MEMS components. And there's a division within LAM that focuses on that technology as well. So as well as looking at the 7-nanometer technology node, we also look at technologies associated with MEMS, whether it's in silicon or piezoelectric materials. So to some, they might see that LAM has not necessarily been shouting from the rooftops that we do MEMS, but we have actually been playing in MEMS since the early 2000s. And if you look at the top 10 manufacturers, it's safe to say that we're pretty much in the top 8 of 10. So we are quite well established in the MEMS community, and that's why working with Coventor, there's opportunities to develop that relationship to really benefit both Coventor and LAM, as well as our customers in the MEMS space.
Okay, so the next question is for you, Stephen. Coventor was recently brought into the fold of LAM Research. So tell me about that in particular and the transition here.
Well, Coventor started about 20 years ago, focused on software for MEMS design. In the mid-2000s, we realized that one of our products, what we call virtual fabrication, had application to advanced semiconductor technology. As advanced semiconductor technology has gone more and more 3D to FinFETs and memory, the value of that approach has increased over time. And by 2015 or 2016 or so, we had established a customer base in advanced semiconductor that overlapped very much with LAM's key customers in that space and the leading foundries, the leading IDMs. And so that was the genesis of this beginnings of the relationship with LAM, and which turned into this merger with LAM. At the same time, we've continued our business in MEMS design automation, very well established in the leading IDMs, the leading fabless companies, and the leading MEMS foundries, and a strong presence there. So there was synergy both on the semiconductor side of our product line and on the MEMS side of the product line. We're very pleased to now be part of LAM Research.
Excellent. Now, Michelle, let's talk about this MEMS part of the whole picture. Now, how is the Coventor MEMS side of things going to integrate itself into the LAM Research ecosystem?
So when you think about MEMS devices, some of the key components that people talk about are inertial sensors. So I'll use that as an example of a vehicle and how we'll work together. So in inertial sensors, the only way we can now test how well our tools have performed is to actually work with our customers and build true devices, so actually finish the full component. And that can range from anywhere from 6 weeks to 12 weeks of cycle time. So running a demo, running development, and moving forward. And with our customers, when we're talking about leading edge components or their next generation or generation plus two or plus three, we're having to start to look at how we can try and condense that cycle time. And so if we do one round of demo or development, we then have to wait for the wafers to come back, the results to come back, and then do another one. So by working with Coventor and the technologies they have in terms of modeling of the devices and the impact of different processes could have on the actual devices, we're hoping to be able to reduce the number of iterations we may have to go through in order to get to that final solution. And there's an added piece to that in that a lot of our customers are foundries, are act as foundries. So that means there's a lot of fabless or fab-like companies out there who are trying to accelerate their time to market. So by being able to work with the Coventor software, as well as the know-how they'll learn through working with LAM's process technology, so improving their overall software capability, it'll add that enabling technology to those customers who are not actually making the components themselves. So again, increasing their time to market and increasing their competitiveness. So fundamentally, it's almost a three-way relationship between ourselves, Coventor, and our customers to make sure that we improve the overall performance of the tools.
One thing is that although we've merged with LAM Research, LAM recognized the value of Coventor's brand in both in the MEMS and semiconductor space. So we are continuing to serve all of our customers in both spaces. And then it's that plus the synergy with LAM's equipment business. Typically on the MEMS side, we typically serve the design groups, whereas LAM is interfacing with the process development groups. As sensors have to become more precise and achieve higher performance standards, manufacturing effects become even more important at a finer scale. And so by the manufacturing insights that we get from the relationship, being part of LAM should inform our design software, help us deliver better solutions. And in some cases, on the process development side, the the link between certain manufacturing variables and the MEMS device performance specifications is not clear, and we can help provide that insight to the process engineer. So there's a lot of good stuff happening out of this, and we're really excited about it.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much, Michelle and Steve.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to meet you. And I'm really looking forward to the relationship both Coventor and Lam have. And I look forward to bringing you some updates in the future.
Thank you, Amelia. It's been great talking to you today.
We can't talk about MEMS and not talk about power, right? But what if you want to add a little low-power Bluetooth to your next IoT MEMS-enhanced design? What then? Then you watch a brand new episode of Chalk Talk. Oh yes, we have got you covered in a brand new episode entitled RSL10 Product Family New Bluetooth Low Energy Solutions. I sit down with Stephen Dean of On Semiconductor and chat about how you can integrate Bluetooth low power energy into your next design with On Semiconductor's latest technology. Now, you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com or head on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal. Hey, have you checked out eejournal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/eejournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at eejournaltfm. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword eejournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 15th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.